book of Luke, chapter number 2. And we're going to read some verses over there. I'm going to go ahead and transition from Thanksgiving right into Christmas. Noah and I were looking at our radio broadcast schedule the other day, and we made some, I used to call them tapes, but they're not tapes anymore. We did some radio work, I think it was Thanksgiving night or maybe Friday afternoon, and we were looking in about Christmas coming up and thinking about that. So if you do radio, you have to think about 4 or 5 weeks in advance. We're usually 2 or 3, and that's cutting it close in radio. But it got me thinking about Christmas, and I was thinking ahead to what we would put on the radio broadcast coming up. But I want us to read in Luke chapter number 2, and we're going to read verses 8 through 20, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Lord, we do come today, and I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you for letting us be here. I want to thank you, Lord, for all the good fellowship and time together we've had over the past few days. Lord, I want to thank you for keeping us safe and watching over us. I want to thank you, Lord, for answering prayers and helping us. And dear Lord, as we come today, I pray that you would help in the preaching of thy word. I pray, Lord, that our hearts and minds would be focused upon the right thing, and Lord, we would come expecting to receive something today from thy word. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have the right thoughts and attitudes about Christmas, and Lord, all the busyness of the weeks ahead, that Lord, we wouldn't let it get out of hand and rob us of the greatest blessing of all. And Lord, that's that it's all about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray you'd help today as only you can. We'll thank you for all that you do. I ask that you just have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back and just to begin this morning, read verse number 11 one more time. This is one of my favorite scriptures as far as when we think about Christmas. The Bible said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And so today we want to begin to think about Christmas and what it means to us. And the way you say, well, preacher, it's not Christmas yet. We're not even into December. But the way time flies, if you don't start thinking about it now, you'll wake up and it'll be over. It'll be the new year. I mean, I don't know. I've always heard the older you get, the more time flies. I think there's something to that. I mean, time just flies. And it won't take no time. Now, if you're 7 years old and you're anticipating Christmas morning and opening gifts, why, I remember how that was too. It takes forever to get here. But the older you get and all like that, it just flies. And time flies. And so the time to think about it would be now, not in a few weeks. And then we think about it one or two days and it's over with. But it'll be here and it'll come and it'll go. And we'll be in the new year. But yesterday I was thinking, I was putting up some lights and it was a beautiful day and warm weather. And I enjoy that. And I was putting up some lights and some decorations outside. And I just begin to think about Christmas. I thought about all the different kinds of Christmas that we think about. You know, I was decorating. I had a Snoopy, and so I was putting Snoopy out, and I got to thinking about a Charlie Brown Christmas. That got me thinking about that, and I thought, well, would that really be a good Christmas to have? I mean, if you watch that, that was pretty chaotic, if you ask me, and there's a lot going on, but there's all kinds of people have ideas about what's a good Christmas. Kim watches Hallmark. You know, in these Christmas movies, they start when in July, and they start showing all these, and I mean, they're all about the same. They all, you know, they might have different people, but, you know, they're all about the same. And you can pretty much tell what's going to happen if you watch the first 5 minutes of one of them. And so a lot of people, they have a certain idea about what Christmas ought to be about. And you think about Christmas, it means what it means to different people. I mean, people put a lot of time and effort and travel and shopping and putting up decorations and traveling here and there and trying to surprise people and trying to find a certain gift, and they put a lot of planning and buying and cooking and organizing and all these things. And so people, what are they trying to do? You know, are we trying to manufacture the perfect Christmas? What would be the perfect Christmas? If you thought about that this morning, just in your mind, what would make it a perfect Christmas? And I got to thinking about that, and that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. I want to try to preach on the subject of the perfect Christmas. As I thought about all those things yesterday and all the different ideas that people have and all the effort and all the energy that is put into Christmas, trying to have, and we might not even come right out and say it, but, you know, boy, we'd like to have the perfect Christmas. And I thought to myself, what would that be like to have the perfect Christmas? And I began to think about Luke chapter number 2. I thought, if we go back to the Bible, at the first Christmas, surely there's some things in there that we ought to, I know we cannot go back and have that again, but there's some things there that we ought to have in our lives, that we ought to have in our Christmas, because if you ask me, the perfect Christmas was the first one. The one we read about here in the Bible in Luke chapter number 2 and Matthew chapter number 1. There's some things in here that I want to point out today. First, the Savior. If we're going to have a perfect Christmas, it's got to revolve around the Savior. It's got to revolve around the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said in verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And then you look down at verse number 10. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And we say this saying sometimes, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, he really is the reason for the season. And if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have a season. You don't have anything to rejoice about if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. He is the reason for the season. The name sort of gives it away. Christmas. It has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the world and people, a lot of times, they get sidetracked and they get way, way away from the real meaning of Christmas. But it has to begin, it has to start with the birth of our Savior. Without Him, there would be no Christmas. That's what it's all about. Without Him, there would be no. Look what it says in verse number 10. It said, and the angel said unto them, fear not. Now they were afraid. And if you were out keeping sheep at night and you seen and heard what they seen, you'd be afraid too. But the Bible said that the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Without Him, there would be no good tidings. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no great joy. Without Him, there would be no good message to all people. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is good tidings today. There can be great joy, and it can be to all people. Christmas is not just an American thing. It's not a European thing. It is something that the Lord Jesus Christ came to benefit the whole world. Jesus came to be the Savior for the whole world, the good tidings, the great joy. In verse number 14, they were singing, they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. There would be no goodwill toward men. It's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, there would be no Savior. Without a Savior, as it says in verse number 10, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Can you imagine what life would be like, what the world would be like if there was no Savior? If there's no Savior, then there is no hope. What could we look forward to if we didn't have a Savior? We couldn't look forward to really anything. There'd be no hope for us. There would be no peace for us. If you didn't have a Savior, there's no peace in that. You could say, well, I can enjoy life while I have it, but none of us knows if we have tomorrow. That thing of death would continually hang over our head, and there'd be no hope in that. There'd be no hope in the future. There would be nothing absolutely in the whole wide world worth looking forward to if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no Savior. We'd have no hope. We'd have no peace. None of these good things. But because of Him, we may be saved. We may have hope. We may have peace. We may look forward to the future. We may even look forward to death. I was at a funeral just in the past couple of weeks, and one of the preachers got up and said about the man that passed away, said, I envy him. Isn't that an odd thing? That we would say in a sound mind that we would envy somebody that had died. The only reason you can say anything like that is because you have hope in a Savior. Paul, he talked about dying and he said, I'd rather be with the Lord. Rather be with the Lord than to be here. Why? Why can we think that? Why can we say that? Because God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christmas is more than about the manger. It's more than the wise men. It's more than the star in the east. When He was born a Savior. When He was born, He had a mission to accomplish, and that was to go to the cross. To die for our sins so that you and I could be saved, so that we could have hope, so that we could have peace, so that we could have goodwill. All of these things, Christmas has to start with the Savior, and it has to revolve around the Savior. And if we get away from that, we lose the meaning of all of it. It all has no meaning if you take away the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know there are people that try to take the meaning away, and they try to take Christ out of Christmas, but that's impossible to do. Even Santa Claus started as a saint. That has something to do with the people of God. You just can't take Christ out of Christmas. It's meaningless. The perfect Christmas starts first of all with the Savior. Second of all, I look down in the Bible, what happened on the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was born? There was a shining. In verse number 8, the Bible said, "And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." I bet they were. I'd say they about jumped out of their skin when the angel of the Lord came upon them. I mean, we live in a world where you rarely are in the dark. But you get out where there's no electricity and lights and all this stuff. I mean, even in your house at night, it's not dark in the house. There's all kinds of lights and things shining. But if you've ever got somewhere where it was dark, I mean, dark is dark. And I don't know if the stars were out or what phase of the moon was in, but when the angel of the Lord came round about them, and in verse number 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Well, I'll tell you what, I realize why they were sore afraid. But there was a shining, there was a singing on that night. Verse 14 said that the angels, they were saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They were shining, they were singing on that first Christmas. You cannot have Christmas without lights and music. Have you ever thought about that? It would just be unimaginable to have Christmas and not have lights. I mean, that's one of the main draws of Christmas is all the lights, all the music, all the singing, and beautiful music too. Not just any kind of song, but songs that are uplifting, songs that will lift your spirits. The lights and the brightness and the songs of the season are everywhere that you go. Have you ever wondered why lights, why decorate, why light everything up? Because light has come into the world. Because on that first Christmas, the angels shone in glory. I don't know why God done it. I mean, the inn was probably a little bit dreary. So God decorated the sky. God put an angel out there in glory and a multitude of angels singing and all of these things. And Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2 says that the wise men, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we are come to worship him." The heavens were different when Jesus was born. God lit things up. So I guess it's all right to spruce things up a little bit. No pun intended. You know, spruce is a... be all right, the Lord did. Can you imagine? I mean, Christmas above all the other holidays has more lights and more singing by far than every other holiday you can think of. There's nothing to sing about at Halloween, is there? It's all about darkness. It's all about goblins and ghosts and all that kind of stuff. And the 4th of July, it has a lot of lights and fireworks, but it's a lot of noise. There's a few songs, but Christmas is entirely different. There's lights. There's brightness. There's joy. There's Mary. I mean, that M-E-R-R-Y. There's all of these things contribute. And all of these people that say, "You know, I'm not going to say Merry Christmas. I'm going to say Happy Holidays." Well, that's fine if somebody wants to say that. But they ought to be consistent. They shouldn't have any lights and they shouldn't have any music. I believe you can trace that the fountain or the foundation or the beginning of all those things, you can trace it back to that first Christmas that God decorated the sky and God made the light, God allowed the angel to come and shine round about the shepherds there. There's the shining of it all. Then number three, there's the shepherds in verse number 8. The Bible said this, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now of all the people that God could have made the announcement to, isn't it interesting that they appeared, that the angel came to the shepherds? I mean, if the Lord had wanted to, he could have sent the angel of the Lord to the synagogue, the high priest, the chief priest, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He could have went to them, couldn't he? But he didn't go to them. He could have sent the angel to Herod's palace. And he could have caused the angel to speak to Herod and all the political leaders and all of that crowd if he'd have wanted to, couldn't he? God is more concerned about the spiritual than the physical. And the Lord is not very concerned about how things look. But the Lord always does things right. And the angels appeared to the shepherds. And in the Bible, shepherds are a picture of over the church. I mean, in the Bible, shepherd and pastor is the same word. And so the angels came to the shepherds first of all. And as I was studying this passage of Scripture, I thought this about the shepherds. The shepherds were the first seekers. Look in verse number 15. The Bible said, and it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They were the first ones to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. You can tell somebody about the Lord until you're blue in the face. You can preach to them. You can tell them that they need to be saved. You can present the gospel to them. But until they say, come now and let us go. That's a good thing about the shepherds. If the shepherds are a picture of the pastors to come over the flock of God, it's hard to give directions to somebody to somewhere you've never been. You got to first of all become a seeker. And I wish at Christmas time there were more seekers after the Lord. I wish there would be more people, but all this other stuff so many times it overshadows and swallows up what Christmas is really all about. But at that first Christmas, they sought after the Lord. He said, let's go and look. Let's go see about this thing. In verse 15, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. They were seekers. And the seekers, the first seekers, they were the first seers. I don't even know if that's a word, but it'll fit right there. They were the first ones to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible said in verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, the Bible says, it's one thing to hear about something, but it brings it to a whole nother level to see it with your own eyes, to experience it. They didn't just say, you know, well, that's good. They said, let us go see. And they went into the town. They went into Bethlehem. And they seen the Lord Jesus there, just like the angels had told them. Wouldn't that be a sight to see? That'd be interesting. I'd love to see that. Now, we'll never see that. We will never see that with our own eyes. And there's a great many people, they mock at us. Well, you weren't there. How do you know? You didn't see him go to the cross. How do you know about that? Hey, how can a person rise from the dead on the third day? You weren't there. You didn't see that. See, an unbeliever can never understand the believer's position. I was not there. I did not see Jesus in the manger. I did not see Jesus go to the cross. But I believe that with all of my heart, and it is just as real to me as it was to the shepherds. Look over in 1 John chapter 1. Keep your place here. Let me show you something in the Bible this morning. Although we do not see like they did, through faith, it's possible to see. 1 John, that's right before the book of Revelation, 1 John chapter number 1. The disciple John is writing. And John says this in 1 John chapter number 1. Now, he's the last living apostle. The rest of them, they're mostly dead. And this is years after even the apostle Paul and his ministry. And here's what old John, he's an old man by now. He said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." John is writing from personal experience, and John says, "I saw him, I heard him, I touched him with my own hands." He knew personally the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to people that they're another generation. They weren't there. They didn't see what John saw. And then there's a parenthesis in verse number 2. He's explaining what he's saying. "For the life was manifested." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. "And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." He tells them again, "I saw him with my own eyes." But he said in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." So John says, "What I've seen, what I've heard with my own ears and seen with my own eyes, I'm preaching unto you." Why? Look what he said. "That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These sayings write we unto you that your joy may be full." And John tells us in the Word of God, and there's other places we could go to, that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe upon Him, we are brought into the same fellowship. Amen. Just like we was there, just as if we were there like John was. And that fellowship is just as real as John's was. By faith, we are brought into a real living union and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith, we can say, "I know Him, He is mine, and I'm His." And it's real. It's a reality. It's not something we've made up or imagined with our minds. But you ask me how I know He lives. I know He lives because He lives within my heart today. It's a reality. No, I was not there. I didn't see the baby in a manger, but that's my Lord. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He's a reality in my life. And if you don't believe, you'll never understand that. But if you're a believer, you can say, "The Lord is as real to me as my own mom and daddy. The Lord has never spoke to me audibly, but I've heard His voice many, many times." People have came and they have told me, "I'm sorry that you have a loss. I feel for you. I'm praying for you." And they try to comfort us in our sorrow. But the Lord comes when nobody else is there. And He is real in my life. He's real in your life, and His comfort is indescribable. If you don't know it, if you've never experienced it, I can't do anything for you, but I can just tell you He's real. I have the same fellowship that John had. I know the same Savior that Paul did. No, I was not there. I didn't see those things with my eyes, but it's a reality nevertheless. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, it's good enough. I'm willing to go to the end with what I've got. And I believe with all of my heart, and it is a surety that it'll take me safely to the other side. And I'll go to a real place where there's a real Savior and real people. It's a reality. If you're an unbeliever, you cannot understand that. But being a believer, by faith, we're brought into the same fellowship that the apostles did. Verse 5, he said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We can have fellowship with him. The Lord is real. He's real unto us. The shepherds were the first ones to see. And they were also the first ones to spread the good news. Look what it says in verse number 17. When they had seen it, I'm going back to Luke chapter 2, verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. They were the first ones to spread the good news. Because that's what shepherds do. They spread the good news. They sought, they saw, and then they shared what they had seen. They spread the word of God about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I notice this, they didn't wait 6 months to do it. The Bible said in verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They didn't wait. And I'm as bad as anybody else, but we tend to think we've got all the time in the world. And I heard somebody this past week, they was talking about a lost person, and they said, if I have an opportunity, I'm going to speak to them. The shepherds didn't wait for an opportunity. They went right then. And they spread that. Hey, that was their opportunity. There's no greater opportunity. I mean, on this night, the Savior was born. And let me tell you this morning, there's no easier time to share the gospel than at Christmas. Because whether people like it or not, or whether they acknowledge it or not, Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And without Him, there is no Christmas. So what an easy opportunity. It's about Him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they begin to spread immediately. There's no better time than now because the Savior was born. And so we have the shepherds. We have the same job to carry out at Christmas time than the shepherds did. Just tell what the Lord's done for you. And then last of all this morning, I'll close with this. Number four, I notice this as I read and I study the Word of God. Number four, about the perfect Christmas, the simplicity of it all. This is not a complicated thing. It's a very simple thing. I mean, as I just looked at the Scripture and thought about what it would be like on that night, the Bible said in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. All the things that she saw on that night. The birth, the shepherds, the wise men, they don't come till later. I know that messes up the Christmas play sometimes, but they don't come till later, much later. Jesus was at least 18 months, 2 years old when the wise men come. But that star was in the east when he was born. They didn't just jump on a plane and fly to Bethlehem. They had to come from a long ways away. But all those things she pondered in her heart. There's the simplicity of it all. Verse number 20 said, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." What did they hear? What did they see? The simplicity of it all. We complicate the thing too much. And that's why so many people are like the Grinch. Because it's too much. Too much going. Too much spending. Too much eating. This was going to keep on until somebody said amen. Too much. But I've preached that message so many times, nobody listens anyway. Going till you're about to drop in your tracks. But we got to do it like somehow that pleases the Lord. Too much. That first Christmas was not a complicated thing. They had just a few things. What did Mary see? What did the shepherds see? What did they have? They had life. You think about it, Mary and Joseph had a new baby. There's probably no greater blessing in this world than that very thing. Here's the new baby. They had life. They had the Lord Jesus Christ. They had, they had the greatest gift of all in the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't ask for any more than that. That's about all that they had. Can you imagine how little they had? I mean, Mary and Joseph are not at home. They're traveling. And sour note, why were they traveling? To pay taxes. You know they were broke. Because they had to give it all to the government. And they're traveling. And they're going to pay their taxes. And they're in a strange place. And there's no family. You say, how do you know there's no family? They're staying in an inn. And there's a lot of people coming and going. Not because it's Christmas time, but because it's tax time. They'd all come to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born in a manger. They're not traveling in an RV. They're traveling on a donkey. They've got nothing. But they had one another. Could you be happy if you didn't get anything for Christmas? If you just had your little family, if you just had what little bit you had, would that be enough? If that wouldn't be enough, you need to check up what you hope in, what your happiness in this morning. They had love. They had the Lord. They really had the Lord. They had one another. That's enough. That's enough. What else do you need? You don't have to have a lot of things to be happy in this life. They had their little family. Everybody was healthy. They had some visitors come. It was an unusual night. They had all these things. They didn't have much, but they had a gift. They had a gift that they could literally share with the world. The Lord Jesus Christ. We may not have much. Now, we have more than 99% of the population of the world. But if we've got one another and we've got love in our midst, and we've got a little, we do have a gift that we can share with the world. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the gift is all about, is to share with all the people of the world. They had gratitude. I see gratitude in verse number 20 with the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God. When you're glorifying and praising God, you're thanking the Lord for what you have. For what you've seen, for what has gone on, for His blessings. They're glorifying. They have gratitude, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The simplicity of it all. It does not have to be a complicated thing to enjoy what the Lord has done for us. I mean, it's the greatest message in the Bible. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. There's where it starts. I know it started before then, but what a blessing, what a gift. Christ the Lord. Let's not let the world steal it away and not let all the things going on steal away the joy. There ought to be great joy surrounding the message of a Savior is born. Let's remember it as we start, because we're going to turn around twice and it'll be gone. And we'll say, where did Christmas go? So there's a few weeks to think about it and maybe enjoy it a little bit more. Let's have our heads bowed and our